A lack of access to quality, high-speed internet in rural Wisconsin makes online education, remote healthcare, and working from home more difficult. That's the finding in a Wisconsin Watch piece that examines our connectivity issues during this new coronavirus outbreak. Here on The Morning Show, we're talking about it with the journalist who wrote it. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and we want to know how you're using the internet right now. Call 800-642-1234. Have you had to transfer your work or schooling to home? Has internet lack of access or strength problems been a barrier? What are you doing to manage it? And is your internet connection even able to withstand the increased use as your kids are trying to complete their schoolwork from home while you're on conference calls? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you there, or you can email us ideas@wpr.org. Peter Cameron is an investigative journalist and the managing editor of The Badger Project. That's a nonpartisan journalism nonprofit covering Wisconsin state government and politics. Peter, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. You dig into the broadband situation here in Wisconsin here, specifically during this pandemic, and you talked with some Wisconsinites about how they're managing. Introduce us to Tracy. How is she getting access to the internet?
Sure. So she has to drive. They live outside of Monroe, and she has, this is pretty common for a lot of people in rural areas. She has to drive to a parking lot, which is her employer, Blackhawk Technical College, and she sits in the parking lot and has her laptop and uses the Wi-Fi there.
And, you know, that creates all kinds of hardship. I mean, you're far away from facilities, and also it's a small space. And you profile her, and also in the seat next to her is her teenage daughter.
Yeah, so they have a couple kids, and so now with the pandemic, they all have to work from home, and the internet's so poor that they have to switch off One at a time, doing homework and doing her work. So I think it's pretty common for a lot of rural people in Wisconsin.
Yeah, within a few weeks of time, schooling and work has really switched to being at home. We know 28% of Wisconsin's rural residents lack access to internet service from at least one provider. 43% of rural residents lack high-speed internet. Peter, how does this affect the new normal then of homeschooling via the internet?
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin is behind the national average in terms of rural broadband coverage. And so, I mean, I'm an urban dweller, so I can only imagine, I take it for granted my internet's good, but I don't know how you can do it if you're at home and struggling to get good internet. Good luck to the people that are trying to do it. I mean, I think they have to go sit in the library parking lot.
Right. And certainly we've been talking about students and trying to submit their homework or watch the videos, things that their teachers have posted. But we also have a lot of teachers who are trying to, you know, get that information to the students first, and they use the internet for that. So is this a problem for education maybe in a larger way than we might realize based on the people you've talked to?
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem. It's a problem everywhere. I mean, you think of everything you do on the computer. I'm trying to think what I don't do in my own life, and then if I had poor internet, I don't know how I would get around. Especially now that everything's closed. Good luck to these people trying to get it done.
Well, what's the problem here? What did you find about the reasons that it's difficult to get broadband infrastructure to rural parts of Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it comes down to what it always comes down to is money and investment. So Wisconsin the state government has only put in about, in the last, from 2013 to 2019, about $20 million. Comparatively, if we look at our neighboring state, Minnesota, they have much better rural broadband coverage, and they've put in about five times the amount. They've spent about $100 million to grant internet service providers to put in fiber and put in various internet infrastructure. And the reason it's harder, or there's one reason there's less internet coverage in rural areas is because it's expensive to bury the fiber optic cable. And if you're in an urban area or suburban area where you have lots of homes, lots of customers, internet service providers and private for-profit companies are happy to make that investment because they, for every couple feet they put in the ground, they have multiple customers. But if you're in a rural area, there might be three houses in a mile, and so you bury a mile of fiber optic cable there. It's much, you're getting much less return on your investment. So that's why a lot of people advocate for the state government stepping in and helping to pay for some of that cost that might not be very profitable for private companies.
Peter Cameron is an investigative journalist who's been looking into Wisconsin's broadband access issue. And we're taking your calls this conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have access to a reliable internet connection? What issues do you run into? Do you think we should treat broadband like a public utility? What do you think the government's role should be? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you there. Or you can email your question or your experience to us at ideas@wpr.org. Peter, you talked to a few lawmakers for your story. What's their take on what's happening with broadband in our state?
Well, personally, I mean, I spoke to State Senator Jeff Smith, who's out of Eau Claire, but he lives outside of the city, so he's on a farm outside, and his internet's very poor. He says he can't stream anything, and I think of the horror of not being able to watch Netflix. That's a big part of my life these days, and I think for a lot of people. But I mean, he introduced some bills in this most recent legislative session that, I mean, he's in the minority, so the Republican majority. They kind of died on the floor. There wasn't much movement on his bills. But some of the things he wanted to do, one idea is a dig once law that the federal government has tried to make it happen, but it hasn't yet. Where anytime there's any sort of excavation, any sort of digging for roads or plumbing, whatever, that you also need to lay fiber optic cable, and that can save a lot of money because the digging is a big part of the expense. Another thing he had was if you're laying a fiber optic cable, every house or business within 300 feet needs that. That could be a law that every residence would need to be connected in within a 300 foot. Distance, and so those are some ideas he had. But yeah, it's very frustrating. I mean, it's not surprising to any rural listeners, but it's very frustrating to have. Sometimes there'll be a fiber optic cable running right by your house, but they can't get the company to hook it up. So,
And there are ways to get internet access without the broadband infrastructure we're talking about. What did you learn from folks who use satellite or wireless technology for the internet?
Yeah, that's nice, and that it doesn't require the sort of the expensive fiber optic plant to use it. But I mean, it can be affected by weather. It can be affected by trees and topography. And I was speaking with people in the Driftless area, and with all the hills and things, it can make reception really tough. So I mean, fiber optic it's an expensive installation, but it's the most reliable internet because it doesn't really, it's not affected by those things.
Steve from Shell Lake has a story. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
What are you thinking about as we have this conversation about internet access in rural areas?
Well, I know that CenturyLink is the main provider in our area for phone service. And I know they've gotten broadband grants to put fiber optic in the ground, and they have. Unfortunately, the grant did not require them to hook people up. And I think they've done very little marketing in trying to hook people up to their fiber optic network. And so if you're in rural areas, and, you know, I could consider Washburn County totally rural. We really have no urban. But at least in Spooner and Shell Lake, and I believe Minot and Trigall, Spectrum is there, and I have Spectrum Internet, and I have very adequate Internet service. But if you're 3 miles out of town, your Internet probably doesn't exist unless you go wireless, and that can be iffy based on topography.
Yeah. Steve, thank you for catching us up on what's happening in your area. And Peter, that sounds like a great example of what you're talking about, where things can be really good in some areas and then not far away, you find people who just don't have access or it's really terrible and kind of too slow to even make it work.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I've talked to people that are in a farm in a rural area and they just got lucky and they happen to be right on a line and they have incredibly fast internet. But I think the system's pretty patchy at this point as we try to get caught up. I mean, the federal government is granting tons of money for rural broadband expansion, but it's moving slowly and it takes time. There's the FCC just announced a $20 billion national program, but I mean the projects and the money will get dispersed in the next 10 years. So you're looking at, I don't know, 2030 before some of these projects are done. So what we're getting there, but it's incredibly frustrating, I'm sure, for people that have, glacial speeds.
Right, yeah. And especially now when we're saying stay in your home as much as possible and we still want you to do this work or this schoolwork, use the internet.
Yeah, they might have to drive to parking lots if you can find something that's open.
Right. Peter Cameron is an investigative journalist, and we're talking about how a lack of broadband internet access is affecting people in Wisconsin, especially in this pandemic. Peter has written a piece called Everyone Has to Have It, Broadband Gap Leaves Rural Wisconsin Behind During Coronavirus Crisis. And we're taking your calls, your perspectives on how the internet works or doesn't work for you in Wisconsin and how you think that could change. 800-642-1234. Can you handle, or can your internet connection handle increased use working from home, doing school from home? Are you trying to connect with a healthcare provider online? Is that working or is your connection getting in the way? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. As people work from home and kids learn from home and people video chat with health providers from home, we're using the internet as if it's a public utility, like water or electricity. It's an expectation that we have online access. But that's not true for everyone in Wisconsin. And our guest is writing about the barriers to internet access in our state. And we want to hear from you. Has your internet provider lowered costs or lifted restrictions in the last few weeks because of the coronavirus outbreak? What questions do you have about how other towns and states have gotten internet to the majority of their residents? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Investigative journalist Peter Cameron has written a piece about the challenges of lacking reliable access to the internet here in Wisconsin. And Cindy from Madison is ready to talk with us. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. I am a teacher in a public school teacher here in Madison, and I teach technology at middle school. And one of my concerns over the years has been access. And right now, as we are planning in Madison for our next week going online with our virtual teaching, I want to be sure all of my students have access, and I don't know how to do that. And it's not acceptable for people to be saying, oh, our district will handle it. We, the teachers, need to know how to check with our students and find out if they have the access, because it's much more effective if you delegate and let the people on the front line who are connecting and building relationships with those kids to find out what their status is. I have a lot of anger in my voice because this is a topic that bothers me in the state of Wisconsin. I don't understand why we have to call the tech companies and ask them to increase our access. They should be doing that. It's unconscionable that we are having to call, wait online, and find out if they can increase our stupid internet access. They know they need to be doing it.
Cindy, and thank you for that perspective. I want to give Peter a chance to respond, though, because Cindy is pointing out that even though she's in Madison, she still cannot guarantee that her students either have access because of where they live or also like might even be able to afford it in their homes. So there is a lot of inequity in Wisconsin's internet access here, Peter.
Yeah, I mean, that makes me think of the city of Madison in the last couple years. A couple years ago, in 2018, they did a study and looked at what it would cost to, I mean, even the city of Madison doesn't have high-speed internet everywhere, and they wanted to look at what it would cost the city to implement that everywhere. And the report told them it would cost about $175 million. And so that's a huge amount of money. And that's, I mean, this, I think a lot of this comes down to spending and do we want to spend that kind of money to, I mean, eventually we're going to have to, but how fast is it going to happen? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Sarah in Columbus is ready to join the conversation now, too. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Well, mine piggybacks quite nicely on your previous caller. I'm a teacher in Columbus. We're a very rural district, even though we are so close to Madison. So I've got students who, you know, have internet access at home and they've got the good stuff because they're in town. But then there's people like me, we're 3/4 mile off being able to get the high speed internet. And then we've got all these smaller towers in the area that will allow you to be connected to the net. But my neighbors have trees, so I can't get that either, which really left me in a hard spot going, oh, I've got 6 gigs of data for the rest of the month. I'm a teacher and I have 2 kids at home. How is this going to work for us? And the district stepped up and the district came up with a solution for those of us. And, you know, so I've got my internet now. But now I'm also helping my students. This is our first week of online learning, and the family's trying to figure out, okay, how do we do this without putting 5 kids in a car and driving into town to sit in the parking lot at the elementary school? So it becomes more, for me, a systemic question and a societal question of how are we going to look at this as more of a human right and a safety issue even now. And what are we going to do moving forward? Because we're trying to find Band-Aids now, but what are we doing for the future?
Yeah, Sarah, thank you for giving us that perspective. And Peter Cameron, Wisconsin investigative journalist who is writing about broadband expansion challenges in our state. Sarah mentions, trying to figure out how much bandwidth she has left, how much internet she can use for the rest of the month. And also this idea that we are treating the internet as if it's a public utility, like everybody should have access. But that's not how we regulate it, right?
No, it's not a public utility. Whereas it would, rate hikes would have to be approved by the government. So no, it's not. One thought I had on people complaining about their local internet service provider not providing very good service. I mean, competition can really change that. I know my parents' home in Wanakee. I think they had Charter, and then another company came in, and they both started. They were really aggressive in raising speeds and cutting costs, and in some areas where there is no competition, where there's only one internet service provider, there have been areas where the municipality, the city, might step in and build their own infrastructure and just offer some competition to force that other provider to step their game up, kind of like the public option in health insurance.
Which you've actually found in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, the city of Reedsburg, in that case, the utility actually provides service. They have cable guys that go out and hook you up, and they have really fast internet, and it's actually pretty cheap too. But it's about $45 a month for 1,000 megabits of download speed, which if you know, that's a lot. But a lot of municipalities just don't want to take on a lot of utility public utilities don't want to take on that additional. I mean, the investment in planting the fiber optic cable, but also you have to have customer service people, and it's a big undertaking that a lot of cities and towns don't want to do.
Let's also bring Jim from Menominee into the conversation. Jim, welcome to the morning show.
Hi, good morning. So I'm just north of Menominee, and we basically pay twice as much for costs for our satellite that we have than what you would pay for normal high-speed cable internet down in the city. And we also, with that, we get data cap that we routinely hit at least halfway to three quarters of the month in. And that's just on like the basic cheapest plan that's already double. So for the most part, the service hasn't been bad or anything. It's just we just routinely hit these data caps that don't exist to anyone else out there.
Interesting. Jim, thanks for the perspective then, because you aren't able to get the broadband. And Peter, we know that technology advances quickly, and so we're not even caught up to getting everybody access. And yet the speeds required, what we need to get to people and what they need to work is kind of a moving target. How are state government and internet providers trying to catch up?
So the state of Wisconsin does not require a speed limit or when it gives grants to internet service providers, if that makes sense. So the state of Minnesota, when they give grants to internet service providers, you have to provide the federal definition of broadband, which is 25 megabits per second download speed. In Wisconsin, we don't do that. Now they take that into account when awarding grants, but that's something that we could be doing. The state of Minnesota also has a future target to gradually increase speeds and the mandatory minimums. In Wisconsin, we don't do that, and that's something that could help because, yeah, as you say, the technology continues to improve. And I mean, I've got a 4K TV, and if you have multiple kids watching streaming, it's going to eat up your internet speeds pretty fast. So yeah, I mean that's definitely something that we need to think about is increasing the speed, not just getting everybody at a basic level, but continuing to increase.
Yeah, certainly a multifaceted challenge when it comes to broadband expansion here in Wisconsin, huh?
Exactly.
All right. Peter, we really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for letting us talk about your reporting.
Thanks for having me.
Peter Cameron is an investigative journalist and also the managing editor of the Badger Project. That's a nonpartisan journalism nonprofit which covers Wisconsin state government and politics. And we've been talking about broadband access and expansion here in Wisconsin. We've got a link to the piece that he wrote up on the Wisconsin Watch website. It's at ours. You can find it at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, back-to-back conversations with the candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.